Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Tuesday afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap Today territory. And along with Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl, and Dave Kistler is off speaking somewhere. So, Sam, today it is you and me. Is that the right grammar?
you know, as we talk about being correct and proper on things, yes, that is. It's you and me. You know, I mean, I would understand it if you said you and I. I still know it's you, but it was correct to say you and me.
Well, I'm glad that you know it is I, even though it might be me. And I know that you are you.
So now that we've established those very basic foundational things, you know, it's important to get these things straight so that when people hear the commentary on these other big issues of the day, that they'll know that there's been some thought put into this, Gary.
Oh, yeah, and the right substance. You know,
That's right.
We want to make
sure
we have the right foundation.
Now, that part is very true. This other's in jest, but it is true. We try to make sure that what we say here is in fact accurate. It is in fact true, and what it represents is truly, honestly, biblically based and constitutionally consistent, and in a framework that that those who listen can believe what they're saying, which is hard to do for most news commentaries of the day. That's for sure. So we do try to do that very much, listeners. I just want you to know that even when we jest and talk and have fun at the beginning of the program, we take this with a great deal of tremendous earnestness and seriousness, because as preachers, as Gary and I and David are, we're used to understanding the responsibility before God that when we speak, it better be right. So if there is an error, and we slip sometimes, we're going to make it correct, but we try never to do that.
Well, and you took the word right out of my mouth. It's the word responsibility. You know, any time a preacher gets up to preach, or a teacher gets up to teach, or those of us who have a microphone get up in front of the microphone to speak, we have a responsibility to speak the truth. And, of course, you know, Sam, you and I have, as well as Brother Dave, you know, we've encouraged preachers all across the country to speak the truth when it comes to preaching the Word of God. And when we get on the radio, why, we do strive for the truth, not only from the perspective of the Word of God, but from the perspective of the Constitution and from the perspective of what's going on out in the world. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we would invite you to be a part of our team and pray that as we do the research for these programs and come to you 5 days a week with information, that we will be presenting the things that need to be presented, the things that will not just tickle the ears of those of you who are listeners, but will challenge you from the perspective of truth. You know, Sam, when the Bible says that as the church, we are the pillar and the ground of the truth, boy, that reaches into all sorts of aspects of life, doesn't it?
Well, you know, it does. And when we talk about a biblical worldview being presented, and that's really what we try to do in this program, Gary. This is in contrast continually to a postmodern worldview that really dominates the media, dominates the thinking process of those in Congress. We're going to talk about some events of the day that when we talk about some of these things that come up that are done from a pragmatic perspective, and people are very proud in talking about a pragmatic decision. Well, pragmatic decision, as an example, is that which is given to that which is expedient. It doesn't necessarily mean it's right nor based on truth, but we are in that day when if you buy into that line, truth is not the primary consideration. Other things are the comfort of the people hearing, or the ends justify the means. I'm going to tell you what you want to hear because I want you to be on board with where I'm going, regardless of the process. And these are things that are very, very critical to understand and are part of the, should be and must be a part of the evaluation process for all of those who are hearing, listening, and filtering through and coming to the conclusion of what is true or not. So that's why truth as the anchor point is so critical. And when we move off of that, then we violate the rule of law, we violate the biblical justice, we get into all kinds of things, which I think are going to be seen as we talk about the issues of the day here today on this program.
Yeah, and we do have a number of issues of the day that we want to hit. But, you know, I want to give a statement to pastors and the preachers out there, evangelists and Bible teachers. These are days in which you really need to know what's going on out there in the world and then bring the truth of the Word of God to bear upon those issues. And after we went off the air yesterday, Sam and Dave and I were talking about the fact that as a preacher, I've got such a burden to preach these days because of the issues that are going on in the world around us. The days of just getting up and giving a nice little message or sermonette, I think, are not now. Those days are not the days in which we live. Those things are nice, and there's a place for those, Sam. But, you know, we are living in a day and age where preachers must preach with authority from the perspective of the Word of God to the point of conviction in the lives of the people. Right?
I'm in full agreement with you. Yes, I thought you were going to go further, but I heartily agree. I heartily agree. No question.
Anyway, we are delighted to have you folks with us. Well, I'm certain that by now most of you realize that early this morning, President Barack Obama announced that the United States and its international allies have reached a landmark nuclear deal with Iran. And, of course, the deal aimed at curbing the Islamic Republic's nuclear program while easing crippling sanctions on that particular country comes after almost 2 years of negotiations between Iran and five international powers, including the United States, France, Germany, the United Kingdom. And what really scares me, Sam, is China and Russia. You know, when we take and look, and of course, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to examine and evaluate this decision that was announced earlier today. But when you take and examine and evaluate what's going on in the world in a greater sense, why in the world, Sam, would we be trying to negotiate some kind of a deal with Iran and have China and Russia involved in it? Don't you think that even weakens our foundation for negotiation on some of these issues that we're facing today?
Well, Gary, again, what we just mentioned a few minutes ago, those that are touting this agreement are touting in terms of pragmatic, from the Iranian leaders to the Russian leaders to Kerry. I mean, they're all using this mentality. That what that means is how you get to where you're going and what you build into it is not nearly as important as what you think you're going to get on the end. But in other words, ends justify the means. And yes, on one hand, we are at extraordinary odds with China. China is our biggest cyber hacker. They're undercutting all kinds of things that we're doing. They're trying to undercut our monetary system. Russia, trying to undercut our monetary system. We're facing them down more or less in Ukraine. All of these things are happening, and yet we think that we can sit down with them, Gary, and say we can get a good deal with working with these guys. There's something really wrong with the entire process. We can talk about more about the process when we come back.
Yes, and we're going to do that, ladies and gentlemen. And all we need to do is remember the Old Testament. Israel was told not to make alignments with the other nations that were godless nations. And every time they made such an alignment, it weakened them. And I think that we are in that same status today here in the United States of America, making alignments with nations that we should be running from, not running to. We'll talk more about this after these messages, so stay tuned. Don't go away. There's a lot more to come.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in eighth grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people. Didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The 38th president was born this day, July 14, 1913. His given name was Leslie Lynch King Jr., but his stepfather renamed him. The only Eagle Scout to become president, he attended the University of Michigan on a football scholarship, graduated from Yale Law School, served in the Navy during World War II, and was elected to Congress. When Richard Nixon resigned, he succeeded him, becoming the first non-elected president. His name, Gerald Ford, who said, I ask you to confirm me as your president with your prayers, and I hope that such prayers will also be the first of many.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and on behalf of Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl. Dave Kistler is not with us today. He is speaking to some pastors, so you might want to pray for him. But if you missed the first part of the program, and maybe you just woke up because of the fact that you got to bed late last night or whatever the case may be, earlier this morning, our President Barack Obama announced a decision on a nuclear deal with Iran. And here are some of the statements that he gave early this morning, and I quote, "Today, because of America negotiating from a position of strength and principle, we have stopped the spread of nuclear weapons in this region." That, of course, would be the Middle East. "Because of this deal, the international community will be able to verify that the Islamic Republic of Iran will not get a nuclear weapon." He went on to say, "As the American people and Congress review the deal, it will be important to consider the alternative. consider what happens in this world without the deal. In other words, no deal means no lasting constraints on Iran's nuclear program. Our Secretary of State, John Kerry, said this, and I quote, "Believe me, had we been willing to settle for a lesser deal, we would have finished this deal a long time ago." Now, in light of what President Obama said and Secretary of State John Kerry said, it's interesting to note that the president of Iran took to Twitter this morning, and he said this. He says that this deal shows constructive engagement works. With this unnecessary crisis resolved, New Horizons emerge with a focus on shared challenges. And so we see that our president, our Secretary of State, the president of Iran really think that this was a great deal that was established, that this was a great deal that has come as a result of all of these negotiations that, of course, include China and Russia, which, in my opinion, puts a great big dent in the whole discussion process. Not everybody agreed with Obama and Kerry and Hassan Rouhani, who, of course, is the president of Iran. One fella who did not agree was, of course, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who called the deal, quote, "a historic mistake." He said this, "Wide-ranging concessions were made in all of the areas which should have prevented Iran from getting the ability to arm itself with a nuclear weapon. The desire to sign an agreement was stronger than everything else." Those are the words of Benjamin Netanyahu. And, of course, basically what has come out of Israel is the fact that the agreement could provoke new strains in United States ties with its traditional Middle Eastern allies in Israel and the Gulf states. All have warned that lifting tight international sanctions on Iran will deliver an economic windfall that enables Iran to expand its regional influence by boosting funding for proxies in Syria, Lebanon, Yemen, and elsewhere. Sam, this is not a good deal by any imagination at all. And I'm just wondering, first of all, what are your thoughts? And then let's begin to build this for our people. How in the world did we get to this place in America today?
Gary, I'd agree with you right off, and I think it was a good recap. I'm in full agreement that this is not a good deal. But we're not the only ones who see it that way. And I think that's important. I'd like to look at this, Gary, just from a couple of perspectives we begin it to talk about it, is that we should note that the process that this president is using is really a violation of the historic role for any previous president regarding any type of international agreement. Certainly with something of this magnitude, and that involved so many other countries that are participants. And what I mean by that is this. Under the arrangement of the Constitution, an agreement of this type is the plan was for it to be considered a treaty, an international agreement made between the leadership of this nation with the leadership of another nation. That's a treaty. This president, but that treaty, those kinds of things require a two-thirds vote of the Senate for approval. Well, President Likely's not going to get that, and he knew that. So he's not going to call it a treaty. He's going to call it an executive agreement. Now, an executive agreement sounds an awful lot like an executive order, which the president has used many times to make law to circumvent Congress. But in effect, an executive agreement is not subject to a two-thirds role, and frankly, Congress doesn't even have a legislative direct path for consideration. No, they can weigh in and say and pass some kind of a resolution of disapproval, but they don't have a direct congressional path to comment on this. And the president has already made very clear, don't tamper with it. So he's
I just want to jump in for a second, Sam. Don't forget your train of thought there. But you use that word agreement, and you know, actually, that is what John Kerry said. He said, and I quote: "We are announcing today is an agreement, addressing the threat posed by Iran's nuclear program, period. Period. It's an agreement. And so it's not constitutionally based.
Well, I mean, what it is, it's an inferior document at best, let alone that the content of it, which we'll get into the content of it, is really nothing that provides any assurance at all. This is a very lesser agreement. A treaty has behind it the strength of Congress. A treaty has behind it the whole assumption that there is a broad-based participation and involvement of this nation. But this is really an assent or an approval by really a couple of people, the president, John Kerry, the negotiators at that table with Russia and China and UK and Germany and France. But it's a lesser agreement to which, though, they are hinging what they say it brings peace to the world. It didn't bring peace to the world. So I've got a problem with the process, and the process itself should be enough for anybody who's looking to say, why the variation? How can it be done? And if this thing is done in secrecy, and it's not, as it has been, and it doesn't even provide for a thorough evaluation by Congress, it absolutely, Gary, raises not just a suspicion, but more, I would say, the confirmation that it is loaded full of very bad things for this country. And when you consider that it's Iran that says it's a victory, I would say it's not a victory for us. It's a victory for Iran.
Well, it is no doubt. And, of course, when you've got the Iranian president and the Iranian prime minister coming out and saying that this basically is what we've been looking for, you know it is a victory for them. We do have a phone call, Sam. And, of course, this isn't even phone-in Friday. But let's go ahead and take this particular phone call since the individual's called. Mac, you have some comments on this, I'm guessing.
Yes, I do, extremely. As a Persian Gulf veteran, having served 5 tours over there, and been over there during the first major crisis with Saddam Hussein raiding Kuwait. Anything in light of the fact, especially what both of you men of God were saying and what our best ally Israel is saying, this is definitely not a good deal. I believe, as does my wife, we're negotiating with the enemy here. And I'm saying not just this for me, but to all of America. America, we've got to wake up. I appreciate what you brothers in Christ are doing here, endeavoring to wake up the pastors and meeting with people, but specifically this little corner of Pennsylvania that I live in, Broomall, is very patriotic, and it would be great if, just a sidebar, you'd come here and do a program here at Joe's Pizza or one of our little Broomall hotspots. But we've got to, America, we've got to wake up. This is a Persian Gulf veteran that spent time over there. Landmines, Scud missiles, all this stuff that I came back from. But what about our soldiers, sailors, and Marines that didn't come back? This all smacks them in the face of the waste. We're negotiating with the enemy right now and laying down, embracing the enemy. And this president is just a wicked man. He knows what he's doing, and it's designed. And I'm glad that you gave me the opportunity as a Persian Gulf veteran and a believer in Christ to send out this newsflash to Pennsylvania and all of America. We've got to do something and wake up our congressmen, because they are weak and they're just letting him getting away with literally murdering the United States.
So, well, Mac, I appreciate that, and I appreciate your call, and I appreciate your challenge. And, you know, perhaps somebody else out there would like to call in and express your thoughts on this. The number, of course, is 877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. We didn't necessarily plan on opening the phone lines, but you may call in if you wish. Because this is a very, very serious situation that we are facing today. The local number in the Philadelphia area is 610-539-8255. That's 610-539-8255 if anybody would like to make a comment on this. But of course, Sam Rohr and I are going to continue to talk about what really is the substance of this particular agreement. It's not a treaty, as Sam clearly said. It's an agreement, and why it's bad for the United States of America. So please don't go away, and if you want to add your comments, feel free to do so. We will be back with more right after this.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. President Obama says he welcomes congressional scrutiny of a nuclear deal with Iran, but that he'll veto any attempt to block it. Secretary of State John Kerry tells Fox,
if we don't have the agreement, then you will have a nuclear arms race, because Iran will continue to chase the bomb, and every other nation in the region will say, well, if they're chasing it, we have to chase it.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu calls today's deal a mistake.
Israel is not bound by this deal with Iran, because Iran continues to seek our destruction. We will always defend ourselves.
A vote in Congress is expected in September. A 16-year-old girl who hiked to safety after a plane crash in Washington State says her step-grandparents died in the accident. The wreckage is still missing. The local sheriff says Autumn Veach told him she stayed at the crash site for a day before hiking down. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today, along with Sam Rohr and myself, Gary Dahl. And I do appreciate that call from Mac. And Sam, Mac brought up something that, you know, makes me think. You know, basically what he said is that this agreement that President Obama and his cohorts have announced nuclear deal with Iran really is a slap in the face to many of the service personnel who have been over in that part of the country, or I should say a part of the world, fighting for our freedoms down through the years. Don't you agree with that?
Gary, I do. That's part of the unusual nature of this agreement. That's why I say at the end of the day, this was an agreement that was great for Iran. They say a victory. This was a victory for Iran, but it was not a victory for America. It was not a victory for, you know, as a matter of fact, Gary, one small thing, not just those who have been there, as Mac was so very well stated, but, you know, there's a journalist that is in Iranian prison right now.
What about a pastor?
Yeah, well, and that, too, that have been a matter of subject. You know, they weren't even included as a part of the provision for this agreement. So, I mean, what are you really pursuing, Mr. President? What are you trying to get? It certainly is not. It's certainly not this kind of thing. I guarantee you, if we'd been sitting here with another president, a Ronald Reagan type thing, we wouldn't even be nearly even talking about this kind of thing. So you cannot take your friends who have stood with you over the years, Israel, and even Saudi Arabia, that has not really been, I mean, they've obviously worked against us in many regards, but they obviously are not a friend of Iran. Both of these are both saying bad deal, bad deal, bad deal. Who are we lining up with? If Russia and China thinks it's a good deal, and Israel and even the Saudis, because over there, say it's a bad deal, and we're not negotiating for the release of pastors, journalists that are in the Iranian prison, and what we're doing is really permitting, and that's what we need to get into, some of the content here of what will be the outcome of this relative to our actions on the ground there earlier and so forth, that the whole thing is just upside down and crazy, Gary.
Well, it is. And, of course, the pastor we are talking about is Saeed Abedini, who we've been talking about for many years, or couple of years now. He's in prison over there. Why wasn't he at least a part of the agreement to get him out of there? But no. We want to forget that which is truth and that which is the American way. And we want to get into the content. And, Sam, I'd like for you to begin to elaborate upon that in just a moment. But, you know, for those stations who heard the Fox News report at the bottom of the hour, it makes me sick to hear what Obama said. He said that he welcomes scrutiny from the Congress with regard to this particular deal, but he is going to veto it anyway. How sick is that, Sam?
Well, see, Gary, that's what we were talking about at the beginning. The process is the process itself violates the constitutional process. It circumvents Congress. The president has said transparency. You can evaluate it, but don't even think about it coming back and disagreeing with it. This is not only disingenuous, it is the mark of tyranny, Gary, in every regard. So it's flawed from the beginning, and I can assure you when these kinds of things happen, the more you dig into it, the more we're going to find we're of the same nature of just giving away the store. Let's go to the content if we can a little bit, Gary, on this. I think it'd be helpful to see what's in here.
Absolutely. Get into it, Sam.
Well, I think one of these things I think we'll look at is that, you know, in historic discussions before with Iran, part of it is the fact that starting right with this, they say, or let's put Israel says, we say, those who know what's happening say, Iran, you are producing nuclear weapons. Yeah, Iran has said, no, we're not. We're doing it for peace. We're just trying to generate power. We're trying to just keep the lights on in our country. Israel says, forget it. We know, this nation knows, that's a lie. Well, in this agreement here, one of the things I read, one of the comments was that they said, the Iranians said, this is a real change because we're going to change the direction of our plan. This is only going to be now peace. I look at that and I say, Gary, they've been saying all along that it was always for peace. Now they're saying we're going to change a direction from what to what. Bag of lies from the beginning. That's number one. Number two, so that's an issue. The second one is this verification. The problem in the past has been that when there's an agreement made to, all right, we know what you guys are going to agree to, but let's get in and inspect it. We've had UN inspectors go in. We've had U.S. inspectors, and they've all said they never are allowed to see actually what's happening, which means it's a bogus agreement. They themselves in here and been the many of the commentary is that that discussion as a part of this agreement of actually how that inspection will take place, that's still to be worked out. It's not agreed to, which means it's not going to be agreed to. But I tell you, Gary, one thing that they're talking about, the reduction in the amount of centrifuges that are spinning and producing the nuclear material that can go to a nuclear bomb. All right, well, fine. They've agreed to a significant reduction, but they haven't agreed to in what time frame. And in the meantime, it's going to be at least 60 days to the United Nations does their thing and so forth and getting a part of it. But what's going to happen right away is that there's going to be – the U.S. is going to end its sanctions. They're going to free up assets of over $100 billion worth of Iranian assets and money. This will flow immediately to Iran. They can begin to use this, and they will use it. In the meantime, proceeding right away is the end to the European sanction for oil embargo. So France and others that were part of the deal who have really wanted to get – Iranian oil, but they've agreed to this sanction up to this point. They're now going to be able to get Iranian oil. So Iran is going to be able to increase the revenues because they're going to start shipping oil. They're going to get $100 billion that we're going to free up that has been held in a frozen category. And this is what Benjamin Netanyahu said. This is nothing but hitting jackpot. Iran has hit the jackpot for the day because if they're getting all the money, but they've all these other issues which have never been able to be pursued and proven. It's still not going to be proven. And here again, so Gary, there's nothing about this agreement as I look at it and from everybody's perspectives that in any way makes it verifiable. It's not even clear how it's going to be implemented, but that's why when Iran says it was a victory, they get their money and they can start shipping oil and they can provide help to the rebels on the ground, which is exactly what they have said they wanted to do, which is exactly what Israel knows they're going to do, which is why it's a victory for Iran, and it's a defeat. It's a problem for Israel, and it's a problem for Saudi Arabia, and it's a problem for the United States. Gary, there's just no way I look at what's here and say it's in any ways good.
Well, and you know, and that was a good summarization, Sam, of what the substance of this is. And, you know, one of Barack Obama's advisors or cohorts basically said that this agreement is based not upon, trust, but upon verification. Now, you know, we can talk about that as long as we want. And, of course, that reminds me of Ronald Reagan and the relationship that he built with the old Soviet Union, you know. But he said, we're going to build this agreement on verification. But as you indicated, you know, what really is that verification going to reveal? Because we know, number one, that there are 7 major nuclear sites over in Iran. Most of them, from what I understand in some of the reading that I've come up with this morning, most of them will not be open to the scrutiny of the inspectors. And when the inspectors want to go into any one of these nuclear sites, they have got to virtually get permission from Iran, don't they, Sam? And then give them a 2-week notice before they go into those sites to inspect them. What can happen in those 2 weeks of time with what is in those nuclear sites? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Gary, there's nothing about it that from a legitimate negotiation perspective is at all supportable or provable. The president said it's not built on trust. Well, that's very clear. That's very clear.
He was right.
There isn't any trust on any part. But is it built on verification, as you say? No. It's not built on verification either, because those pieces either have not yet been negotiated, or as I alluded earlier, both parties are saying there's these processes that have to go through, all of that kind of thing you talked about. So there is no verification. So what exactly is it built on? Gary, it's built on the same kind of hope and change that was promised when this individual was first elected. And we know where that hope went, and we know where that change has gone. And that's what Israel knows. And that's, frankly, even what Saudi Arabia knows, which is why both of them are saying, bad deal. And they, unfortunately, being the neighbors on the ground, are, I think, going to be forced to step up and do something about it.
Well, Sam, you're right. He said that it's not based upon trust. It's not. But also, you know, Obama is doing exactly what he said he would do when he ran twice, that he's going to fundamentally change the nature of America. And that's what he's doing. And why? We've basically allowed him to do it. Well, we're going to talk more about this when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, so don't go away. This is Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull.
Blessed is a man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously to all. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, online at thelifegroup.org. For nearly 40 years, we have worked with believers and especially widows across the nation. We all need wisdom as it relates to our finances, taxes, and estate planning, but no one more than the widow who must manage on her own. We are financial advisors committed to a biblical worldview. We assist with your income taxes and give advice to help keep your taxes low. We also carefully invest your money to provide a comfortable retirement income, and we work closely with Christian attorneys to draft a believer's will and powers of attorney. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800. That's 1-800-688-5800, or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing, as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. At last year's December meeting, the Pennsylvania Family Institute Board of Directors decided to hire an additional constitutional attorney for our Independence Law Center to join in the fight for religious liberty and the sanctity of life. It was a step of faith because it means we need to bring in additional financial support to accommodate the growth. But it was also a very timely decision because the attacks on religious liberty for individuals, churches, and ministries are growing by the day. And that's why I'm so glad that attorney Jeremy Samick has joined our chief counsel, Randy Wenger, on the Independence Law Center team. They're here to help you and all Pennsylvanians fight for religious liberty. Please consider helping us financially with a generous, tax-deductible contribution.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. We depend on your prayers and financial support. To donate, log on to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
In anticipation of troubled times, the Apostle Paul instructed Timothy to be courageous, bold, and unswerving in his belief of God. He said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you listen to the news of the day, you may well be fearful of all types of things, known and unknown. But God has given us the victorious power, His Holy Spirit to communicate the truth, and the spirit of confidence and faith. We should not sit back nor cower. Instead, we must press on for the truth. We must declare our relationship with Jesus Christ and the transforming power of the gospel. As Paul said, "Because of what God has done for us, don't be ashamed of being called a Christian. Wear the name of Christian with humility, grace, and power." I'm Sam Rohr saying, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Let us stand for Christ and with Christ, no matter the cost.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, Sam, this is a terrible agreement. You know, we've been talking about the fact that the agreement calls for the United Nations Security Council to take up sanctions relief right away, and yet the United States Congress is supposed to have 60 days to review the deal, and who knows what's going to happen in that 60-day period of time. Effectively, what the president is doing is circumventing the Congress. You know, these are serious days for the United States of America. These are serious days for our respect to the United States Constitution. It seems like every day these days we are talking about some sort of an attack upon the law of our land. My question to you, Sam, as we sort of wrap this up for today, in light of this particular agreement that has been signed, where do we go from here? What can we expect in the days to come as it relates to our relationship with Iran, Israel, and other nations of the world under the direction of the Obama administration?
Gary, I think in the biggest perspective, I think what we're seeing, and we've chatted about it on this program before, but what we're witnessing is a major realignment of the nations of the world. From the largest perspective, you back up and you look down at what's happening. This president, I think, has overseen actions and policies and changes that have realigned the pre-existing international relationships. You see what's happening in Europe with the central banks and the European Union. You see what's happening with the relationship between us and Russia, most saying that the days of the Cold War are back. Well, you see what's happened between us and China. All the effort over the past of trying to buddy up with China when they, in fact, had not changed their ideology towards us, in fact, are now our major adversaries when it comes to cyber warfare and other things. In the Middle East, of course, we've been through it before. All these independent countries that used to be there, that at least kept the lid on the ISIS types that were there, they've all been knocked off. The Gaddafi and effort in Egypt and Assad and all of these things have all been led by this administration to knock off these independent leaders who have kind of kept the lid on it. That's allowed for the caliphate, ISIS, to move forward. Well, who is in there as the most aggressive of all of them, all that kind of thing, Middle East? It's Iran. Who is the odd man out? It's Israel. We are turning our back on Israel. Europe, frankly, is to a large degree as well. And I think, Gary, from a big picture perspective, from a prophetical perspective, this is all going to happen. I do remember a comment that Henry Kissinger made, and people probably can Google and still find it, the night after this president was elected. He was interviewed and said, what do you think about the election of this president? And he very clear and said he was our pick. And I think it's notable to think who was our, but he said he was our pick to usher in the New World Order. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that's interesting. Henry Kissinger, who was New World Order guy, we know. But if you look at it in that context, the diminishing of sovereignty for this nation, the changing of alliances between us and Israel, and the overflowing of our debt, which has occurred under this administration to the point that we're in worse shape than Greece. These things are not accidental. These are things that I think that are moving forward, that this president, this policy, because of where he's come from and where he's going, is doing. So when you say, what do we look forward to? I think a continuing realignment of the nations. And until those who, I think, to Congress steps up, which they have not, in this Congress, and this president goes around him and they let him, I don't see much help there. So I come back to this. If there's going to be help and change, it's going to come from God's people. Gary, pastors in the pulpit are going to stand up and say this is, at the end of the day, a spiritual issue, spiritual conflict, and it's going to be addressed by truth only by God's people. That's where we've got to go. That's where the message has got to go forward, Gary, I think, in these days. It's the only way that takes and puts these things into perspective.
Well, I agree 100% with you, Sam. And, of course, it goes back to the pulpit, goes back to the people of God. And I was in a discussion this morning with an individual how – and we've talked about this on this program – how that in many ways the Christians in the pulpits of America have really opened the door to some of these things that we see taking place today. You know, Sam, you mentioned the New World Order, and of course we've been talking about that for many, many, many years, and I think that maybe one of these days we need to talk about that even in more specifics to help our people to understand what this New World Order is all about. But I do want to say something. I want to leave the air today in a positive note, Sam, okay?
Absolutely.
We do have Donald Trump.
I laugh. Go ahead, Gary. Go ahead.
we have Donald Trump. I am looking at a piece right now that asks the question, can Trump save America? If so, vote. So do you think Trump could save America, Sam?
Well, Gary, only God can save America. but can God use statements made by a Donald Trump to perhaps help focus where things are? The answer is yes. And there's a reason why there's such a response, positive response to Donald Trump's message. Some say he speaks to the what everyone thinks, but doesn't often hear people say. Some say that he's tapping into a broad-based unrest. In other cases, they say he's marked by the fact that he's an outsider and he's not a part of the machinery and not afraid to speak out about it. There are a lot of things that he's saying which clearly is attracting and speaking to the hearts of many in America. So I think he can contribute perhaps to what's going forward. And I think as, the things further work themselves out with these multiple candidates, there will be the opportunity to say, will any of them stand up and say, God is our answer? It's a matter of truth. It's a matter of where are they going to go on these issues? Because it's not a political response. I don't care how conservative it is. Without a clear identification of the need for God's help, none of them will actually come about. But it can't.
Well, our producer says that the Trump is better than Obama. So, that's one opinion. But I like what you said there, that, some of the words that he is using really is motivating, stimulating thought. And, it's some of the things that unfortunately the establishment Republicans are trying to stay away from. That's not good either, is it?
Well, no, it's not, but it shows that what he's saying goes to the heart, because whoever the establishment goes after and attacks, look at what it is that triggers that and then build upon it, because that they're speaking right to it. He is saying a lot of those things that go to the heart of the issue that challenges the status quo. That's good.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come. Of course, I think that this means that as Christians, we need to pray. We need to stand up for truth. Preachers, we need to preach over the pulpit. God is in control. It's God who causes, allows, or directs all things to happen. And we've read the rest of the book. We've read the last chapter. And we know that God's way, God's truth is going to prevail. So, as I so often say, keep looking up. That's what we encourage you to do here on Stand in the Gap today. Keep looking up, because we know the best is yet to come. Have a great day. We will join you again tomorrow, the Lord willing. Until then, may God's blessings be upon you.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.